So back to 1968 we go, Paul.
Oh, yes.
I can't tell you what a privilege this is.
Not a hair out of place.
No.
As my mother used to say.
You must have done a bit of pretend tilted set acting in your time.
Yeah. And will again.
Oh.
It's her dream.
Yes.
It's her dream.
Anything can happen in the next half hour.
So back to 1968 we go, Paul.
Oh, yes.
I can't tell you what a privilege this is.
Do you remember the sting
if
there?
If I start crying, I'll jump behind that sofa.
That's fine, yeah.
Just bear with me.
Oh, man.
And I'm going to see it for the first time in colour.
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it? The agents of Spectrum, of course, who should be seen in colour.
Mm.
The mysterious.
Oh, wonderful Ed Bishop narration.
Oh, wow.
Possessing the ability to recreate an exact likeness of an object or person.
Yeah. Terrifying.
But first, they must destroy.
And there was a roster of voice artists, weren't there?
Yeah.
Absolutely right, yes. You crop up again and again.
How brilliant.
And that was right the way through till the 80s, even on shows like Terrorhawks and so on. I did a show called Space Precinct, which is my connection with Gerry Anderson, in the 90s, and there were people working on that had worked on Thunderbirds in the 60s.
Well, David Graham, who was the voice of Parker, came back to do a voice for that show.
Yeah.
So you never gave up on these people.
Yeah.
He's the only one whose name I can remember, because he's just a famous actor.
Yes,
well,
right.
He's a famous voice actor.
Yeah. Yes,
among the voice actors.
Mm. You know.
But here we have Francis Matthews as Captain Scarlet, the voice of Captain Scarlet.
Now, this is Melody. Is that Melody?
Symphony.
Symphony.
Yes. Returning to Cloud Base, and there's a strange noise.
It's beautiful designs.
Yeah.
I mean, there were staples, weren't there? You know, in a lot of the different things you'd see of Thunderbirds and Super, you know, you'd see takeoffs, you'd see vertical takeoffs, you know, there was stuff that you'd expect to see, like a house style, wasn't there?
Yes, that's absolutely right. And of course, all these were merch. You know, you could buy these in Woolworths.
And we did.
So she's bailed out.
She has. Not a hair out of place,
no.
As my mother used to say.
I think this puppet is modelled on, I want to say, Ursula Andress.
Oh.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah.
It looks like her.
Mm.
Yeah, the stars of the day would have been the choice.
Mm.
James Garner, you made me laugh before talking about James Garner.
That's crazy.
It makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I think she means it.
Yeah, so Symphony's in trouble. Rather than stay with her chair, she's wandered off.
In the middle of the desert.
Which is what you shouldn't do.
Without a helmet.
Even children know you shouldn't do this.
Yeah. She's setting a bad example.
Can you hear me? Symphony.
She's in shock.
And the sun's getting to her as well.
But here's the music doing all the heavy lifting as well.
And now her hair's out of place. It is her, Sarandra's look.
Yeah.
Or Mary Ure. Do you know who Mary Ure is?
No.
Mary Ure? No. Don't know that name.
Stage actress.
Right.
And a film actress from the period. She's suffering, look. Oh, no.
The stakes just got higher.
Yes. And let's reinforce this with an image of death.
Oh!
But awesome. I love that they've gone to the effort of making a puppet scale animal skull for that. So.
And now we get the opening titles.
Who would have done that voice?
That's Donald Gray, who was also the voice of Colonel White.
And hadn't the galactical beef come from almost by accident?
Yeah, it was a misunderstanding.
It was a misunderstanding.
First episode.
It was a misunderstanding.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whoops.
And rather than saying, well, never mind, it's okay. We'll just declare war. That's fine. Yeah, it's all the fault of this man.
Look at the rings around his eyes. Look.
Yeah.
He's got a hard night.
He's got a Cary Grant vibe going on. Look.
Sure. Yes.
I can seem to remember as a kid there was a Cary Grant voice in there somewhere.
Well, that's Captain Scarlet. Yeah.
It's
that's
Captain
Francis
Scarlet.
Matthews doing
it's
Cary Grant.
Don't worry about Symphony. We'll find her. Well, I sent for you both to discuss the Mistron threat against Cloudbase.
It had to come, Colonel. This base was an obvious target.
That's him.
I agree, Captain Scarlet. But we must ensure the Mistrons do not succeed. This will be our operational plan. Cloudbase will be sealed from all external contact.
So we have the unusual situation where the bad guys tell us in the opening credits what they're going to do. In their Mistron voice, we know.
To me, that's confidence.
Yeah, sure.
That's confidence.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of episodes where it's like, oh no, we didn't mean that President so-and-so. We meant this ship that just happened to be named after him. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't always a
simple. They tripped themselves up from that.
Yeah, yeah.
How funny.
She better get a drink quick. Look at those eyes, like cat's eyes.
Yeah, amazing, aren't they?
Green eyes.
I guess they were glass, the eyes, eventually?
Yes, I can't remember which way around that was, but yeah, eventually. They were reproductions of actual photos of real eyes.
Right.
And then they became glass eyes.
Yeah.
That's an amazing shot of the puppet and the model. There.
I mean, the perspective and the distance they managed to get.
And
that reminds me of, I worked on a Spielberg film, Empire of the Sun, and that shot, it's in Ballard's book.
Yeah.
And a 12-year-old Christian Bale does exactly that.
Wow.
When a Zero fighter goes over.
Wow.
And he waves at the exactly that shot.
Wow. How interesting.
But I love that shot of her just lowering her head. There's emotion there without a dialogue.
Yes,
it's all through the puppetry.
It's nice. It's minimal. It's it's like silent movie, actually.
Yes.
Out there somewhere without food or water.
Recall that jet, Lieutenant. The security of...
Hi there, blue eyes.
Yeah, the colours are very vivid on the HD restorations.
So it's interesting how a lot of his series had kind of father figures at the head of the organisation. Colonel White, Jeff Tracy, of course, the Tracy brothers.
It was pretty... Do people complain about it?
No, not at all.
It was pretty male.
Sure.
I mean...
With today's lens, we can see...
Yeah. I mean, there weren't that many female characters in it, really, were there?
No, I mean, we've got the angels, of course.
Yeah.
When they remade Captain Scarlet in the mid-2000s in CGI, they did gender swap some of the male characters to female.
Yeah, Joe 90 is... There's no women characters.
Basically not. No, that's right.
Exactly. You know.
Yeah.
Most important spot on Cloudbase. Keep a constant watch.
You know, Thunderbirds is really only rescued by Lady Penelope being such a prominent part.
Some within 100 miles of this base.
There's a man called Magenta.
There he is.
Yes, that's it.
He ain't scared, is he? Look at him.
He's got a full head of hair.
He's got a full head of hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To see Colonel White.
Ooh.
Okay. Wow.
Yes. So Magenta's in charge of keeping an eye out for any incoming Mistron threats.
Excellent. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, with him in charge,
Colonel White,
quite a lot. Yes.
I demand an explanation.
Look at the colour. Look at the green popping out there.
Great.
What's the meaning of this, Captain Blue? Bursting in here and making demands.
I'm sorry, Colonel. But I have the right to ask for an explanation.
I don't have to answer to you for any of my decisions, Captain.
Can you imagine the fun they would have in the voice booth with these guys?
The interesting thing, what... Mind you, they would have... Of course, they would have, these actors would have got to know the character because they would have seen the models.
Mm.
There must have been times when they worked where they hadn't. There must have been those times.
Did they shoot it and then voice it, I guess? Or?
I hear that they went to see a filming of the first episode. So you said Blue shoots Scarlet in the first episode, and there's a car park that gets knocked down. They saw that being filmed,
right.
And they looked at it and went, oh, that was a bit underwhelming. But then once they saw it on screen with the sound effects and slowed down, suddenly they were like, oh, this is more like what we were expecting.
Yeah.
So they would have had some idea of what the characters looked like.
I've given orders that any aircraft approaching or leaving Cloudbase is to be destroyed.
So, Captain Blue can't go and rescue Symphony, even though he's in love with
her. So this adventure, this episode is really over the series. I mean, there's a sort of inevitability about this, isn't there?
Yeah.
This is the big showdown that
this
was going to...
Yeah,
that
what
was
it was
gonna,
all leading
was,
up
was always
to.
Going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. and they've been hinting at Blue and Symphony having a bit of a thing for each other, on and off.
Right. So now, and he's not allowed to go and rescue her.
Help her. So the emotional stakes are heightened, which is rare for this show. Because
see, that would have gone over our heads. It's short.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But your parents watching with you.
So it's kiddulty thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's
Yeah. And again, this is people just waiting for the inevitable attack. Again, it's something children wouldn't get, but older parents who'd lived through sort of wartime conditions.
No, I couldn't eat a thing. But you go ahead. I think I will. It's going to be a long night.
Cut away before he puts it in his mouth.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't make him eat. We can't do that. Don't make him eat it.
And the music, the underscoring is almost throughout, isn't it?
Mm.
It's like it's perpetual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's part of it.
Yeah.
Well, the music was specifically written for this episode. A lot of episodes would reuse music from other shows. All this music was specifically written for this one.
There's your recycle.
There it is, you see.
And here's Magenta.
It's got a slight touch, it's got a slight... What the Butler Saw vibe machine going about.
Oh, yes.
End of the pier.
That's a very specific reference. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Saying it has.
You're right, yeah.
It dates it perfectly.
Yeah.
Don't be so eager. Slow down, Captain Magenta. Just give me its course, altitude.
Okay, so there's something coming.
Altitude 45,000 feet, range 47 miles.
Magenta looks very inscrutable.
He's very excitable, as we find out in this one, yes.
Some Air Force jet, of course. Well, it's just possible, but unlikely.
Because normally by this point in any other episode, we would have been to other places. We would have seen the plan underway. Yeah. The fact that we've waited so long with this one.
Yeah.
And ultimately we're about to discover it's completely out of the ordinary.
Range 25 miles. Sound action stations, Lieutenant. Yes, Colonel.
So now we're going to up the ante. This is going to happen.
Yeah.
Put your sausage on stick down.
He hasn't eaten it yet.
No.
He's had a Condor moment. Do you remember Condor?
I do.
He's had a Condor moment. He was just about to. And then he's...
Yes. Gregor Fisher did the photo booth version of the commercial.
No, you're thinking of the cigar.
Hamlet.
Condor moment was... it was exactly this time, the 60s advert, where the fella takes a drag on his pipe.
Oh, wow.
Pipe tobacco.
Wow.
And the world stops... When he's inhaled, everything stops all around.
Very useful.
Yeah. He's had a convo room.
Be careful, Rhapsody.
I can't believe it.
What is it, Rhapsody?
I'm not sure. I'm going in for a closer look.
And going in?
Going in. That's Liz Morgan, yes.
Ah.
There was three of the angels in this.
It's great hearing these dialects that have just gone.
Yes, yes, that's right.
There we go.
It's some sort of space vehicle. Flat, circular, estimate diameter...
Is that a Mysteron craft?
Yes.
Is that the first time we see one?
First time, yes.
At the very end of the series?
Yeah.
Yeah. Culmination.
Yeah.
And it was deeply out of focus.
Yes. Yeah, that... The props, in some shots they look good, and in others they kind of look like just a wobbling saucepan lid.
Right.
But, yeah. The noise and the music helps Alvin, I think.
So that's what caused the crash of the original craft?
Well, certainly the noise was part of it, yes.
What?
Yep.
Dead. That's the end of
Rhapsody.
Yeah.
That's cool, isn't it?
That's just...
Wow.
And again, character from previous 30 episodes.
Gone.
Gone.
And she is gone, is she?
Gone, yeah.
Come in, Rhapsody. Rhapsody!
I cannot... It's making me now remember, as a child, that... What would it have been? Maybe not Thunderbirds. But I remember we watched an episode where everything had been a dream or a nightmare.
Right.
Well,
there's several like that.
From one of the characters. And it's unusually when you thought someone had gone or a character had gone that you followed for years.
Yeah.
And then somebody wakes up from a nightmare. It's that sort of thing.
Yes.
And even as kids, we'd go...
What?
Why are they playing with our heads?
Absolutely.
Now positioned over a remote, uninhabited area in the Himalayas.
Now the question is, how did he get inside that table?
That is the eternal question. Yes. We just assume he drops in from the tube above. Yeah.
Power fight, and I'm sure you will all do your duty.
Yes, sir, Colonel, sir.
God, I hate you. And here we have a slightly romantic interlude.
Oh, between these two?
Just lean in a bit closer.
Ever we do get out of this alive.
Just going to tilt my head to...
Sir? Look at the unshavenness.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that before.
Yeah.
Yes, Colonel. So I've got 2 days.
That's right.
Or like it's a 5 o'clock shadow. Look.
Yeah.
Just making sure I don't get out of line. Maintaining.
That was an interesting moment, wasn't it?
Yes,
it was.
A wonderful man.
A wonderful man. Oh, yes.
There's a lot more enigma in this song.
Yeah, there really is. Yeah.
Than I remembered. She must be superhuman. She really should be dead by now.
Oh, no. Back to the waiting.
Like you say, it's a lot of waiting.
Yeah.
Which is actually quite...
Yeah.
It's quite advanced.
You'd never do that now, though, would you? You'd pack every moment with action, wouldn't you? That's the perceived wisdom.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I first saw this as a kid, I found it extremely unsettling. The fact that even though death was a part of the show, that one of the regulars had died, and that was... Oh, okay.
I just think as well, it's something about the time, the period as well. If you, for example, if you were to, I don't know, look at an episode of... what were we talking about before? Brideshead Revisited.
Yeah, yeah.
They look so slow.
Yes.
Before the sort of the cross-cutting style that you've got now. Mm-hmm. Scenes go on longer than you think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Characters walk off out of frame.
Yeah.
The camera doesn't cut.
No, that's
the scene carries on.
That's right.
In a way that now you simply...
Yeah.
They would never let you do it.
Yeah.
So people were, I think, then were quite used to watching.
Yeah.
You know, longers.
Absolutely right.
I just think they were, you know.
You see someone get out of the car, walk up the path, put the key in the lock, open the door, whereas now it would be cut. You know, car pulls up and they're in the living room.
But you have that even with the remake of this from the mid-2000s. I've had a couple of times where I've rewatched that whole series and thought, oh, I want some more Captain Scarlet, I'll go back to the original. And I found this relatively slow because the new one was so crazily fast-paced.
Yeah.
I like slow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's atmosphere.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Look, there's a fleet en route.
Ready for takeoff.
So we're going to send out our main man.
Lieutenant Green.
Scarlet One. Immediate launch.
Well, he's going to save the day, surely.
He seems quite breathless, the man in green.
Wow, he's a bit panicky.
Like it's getting to him. Mm. He seems like he's...
Fair enough.
It's an effort, look.
Anyone can be brave if they're indestructible. That's enough.
Ooh. Well, all right.
Answering
calm
back.
It.
Yeah.
Wind your neck and turn green.
But I like that with this one, that all through the series up to this point, it's like, I'm giving an order. Yes, sir, I shall carry out your order. And then this one, it's like, well, no, it's a stupid order.
There's insubordination.
Yeah, it's a bit more real.
Yeah.
That's pretty effective, because you can't actually see the detail.
Yeah.
Well, it works a treat.
Yeah.
I've been hit. Can you make it back to base? I think so.
Oh. Well, that went well.
Stand by for emergency landing. Captain Blue, get Captain Scarlet down to the sick bay as soon as he lands.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's not, like the whole thing's in a kind of minor key, which is interesting.
Isn't it?
It's unexpected.
That's right, yeah.
I don't remember it like this.
No.
I don't...
Yeah.
I just remember, I most remember sort of series of set pieces and excitement and, you know, crescendos. And this has like got a lot of gaps in it.
That's right. Yeah, it concentrates on the moments in between those set pieces.
It's actually very confident.
Yes.
We release Captain Scarlet from the Angel Jet, sir.
Good. Dr. Fawn is preparing the sick bay.
Dr. Fawn.
They'd really run out of colours by then, hadn't they?
Well, his voice actor had left about 20 episodes earlier, so...
Okay.
He's the first to die.
Dr. Shocking Pink.
Yeah.
Schiaparelli.
Oh, it's not looking good.
That's very handsome. Look at that.
Yeah, isn't it?
Because that sky is a really, really deep blue.
Yeah. If this had been set during the daytime, it wouldn't have been half as effective, I don't think. And the fact you just see these lights on the monitor rather than all the models.
Yeah.
Seal all emergency pressure locks.
Colonel White, Dr. Fawn has been killed, but his assistant tells me Captain Scarlet.
God, people are dying. There's a body count.
Yes. It feels like the end, doesn't it?
Yeah.
End times.
How long will he take to recover?
Let's check with. Uh
oh.
Oh. Look at him.
It's Captain Black.
No.
Even that
the
funereal
death march,
Stand, Colonel. He's really dead. Permanent. Final. Absolutely dead.
Oh, dead? Really?
Captain Scarlet dead?
Steady, what? Colonel.
Dead, dead?
Oh. Steady.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Colonel White!
This could get a bit Monty Python.
Yeah. Speaking of,
here he is.
Spectrum agents, yeah.
At that range and with their size, we have visual contact. Thank you, Captain.
Chris, were they expecting to make more after this series, or did they know this was the end?
After Thunderbirds didn't go much further, I would have thought.
Right.
They would have just assumed this was it.
At 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
How high is he going to go?
18, look at that, 19, 20, 21. Oh, look at the size of this one.
It's the Grand Fleet.
Yeah.
Look at that, pink smoke. Oh.
Too eager, far too eager.
Oh, well. It's not going to be shedding over any tears over Captain Magenta.
So he's dead?
He's dead. Dr. Vaughn's dead.
This is carnage.
There's, yeah.
The aircraft carrier.
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh, no.
Let go.
Yeah. Even they're not safe.
You must have done a bit of pretend tilted set acting in your time.
And will again, no doubt. Yeah. Remember a voice at the bottom of the sea where all the actors sort of run from one side to the other.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
Classic.
God, this is very unexpected.
Oh. Is this a dream?
Are you all right, Captain Blue?
This isn't the one I remember. Is this the one I remember?
It's broken.
Oh.
But the lieutenant is dead.
The situation's hopeless. Put on a power jetpack and abandon cloud base.
Oh my God, it is
one you remember.
I think this might be it.
Really?
This might be it.
That's the first time that's ever happened. Yes, on a randomizer. Yes. Someone actually remembers.
This might be it.
Oh. No need for that, Captain.
Because as kids you were going on.
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah.
Completely, utterly shocking.
Mm.
Listen to the death march, you get it?
Yeah, and this very human touch.
Look. Looks like a VC, doesn't it? No, it's a...
Is it a George Cross? Like
someone's
saying. Something like that, yeah.
This is Colonel White to Spectrum Headquarters, London.
Even his hair is out of place.
Yeah.
This is disastrous, look.
He needs a Brill Cream applicator.
He needs a haircut, yeah.
Look at that.
I intend to go down with my command.
Wow.
The masculinity was really, and even the look of the males was again a real period piece.
Mm.
That sort of lantern-jawed thing,
yeah.
You know, duty first.
Yeah,
and all of
that's
this
right. Thing. Oh, absolutely.
It's all it dates it perfectly, doesn't
it? Oh, hang on.
Ah,
no, I'm telling you, this is it.
No.
Fantastic.
It's her dream.
Yes.
It's her dream.
Oh, the detail on the lips there as well, dried.
That's right.
How about that?
That's amazing.
That's clever.
Has been. I remembered that. That has been. How long has that been?
Oh,
decades.
Yeah. It's been up there all that time.
Again, the. When you how about that? When you think. The power of stories.
Yeah.
Of storytelling.
Yeah. And the attachment to the characters as well. And as characters go, these aren't like spectacular personalities, but you are attached.
This is it. This was the dream, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Adam.
Sounds to me as if it wasn't so bad.
No, it was horrible.
That's so Cary Grant, wasn't it? Oh, God, I'm thrilled to remember that.
But then it was only a dream.
There we go.
And us two, well, in our bunk beds that night, we were just quietly furious, like we were marked, you know, like we were duped.
Wow, it's very effective.
And then being absolutely thrilled as well that it's all going to be okay. Oh, wow, this.
But a lot of people, and I think I'm one of them, are like, well, you had such a perfect ending there. That really fits the tone of the series.
Right.
I would have happily left it there.
Expressions on the faces, look of the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, the disappointing thing is we never saw these scenes in the series.
No.
These pictures.
And this one in particular would be a great one to see.
Unforgettable. Yeah. Look at that. Well.
All those voices.
I feel like I've just completed like a circle or an arc that's taken, like a firework was fired 50 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And it's just landed. How about that?
It's quite cathartic.
I remember seeing that.
Yeah, that's extraordinary.
I can remember seeing that, and I can remember being with my
siblings.
The effect
of it.
The effect of it.
Yeah.
Someone probably going, how dare they? I'm getting quietly just mad.
Yeah.
Mad that they played with us like that.
Yeah. Well, it's something they often did near the end of series, aside from Thunderbirds. It's like, well, we're probably not going to make any more. Let's do a dream where everything gets destroyed and we can set Fireball XL5 on fire and whatever.
Yeah. So you say this is that was the penultimate?
That was the penultimate one, and the next one was just a clip show.
Clips. Now, what was a clip show again? So was that something that was expected? Or
at the time, that's how most of them ended. Because, again, repeats weren't a thing. So it's like, here's some favourite scenes from earlier episodes.
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of makes sense in the days before home media.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Whereas nowadays it's like, oh God, why couldn't you just left it there with everyone dying and then it works. Yeah.
So coming over a dream would have been a nice way to finish it.
Chris, where can we find Captain Scarlet?
Well,
these days?
It's on DVD and on Blu-ray and on ITVX and
great.
Talking Pictures TV have shown it a couple of times recently as well.
Which is the one, or was it Thunderbird? Somebody attempted a live action. I mean,
there was a movie.
What was that? Was that Captain Scott?
That was Thunderbirds.
That was Thunderbirds.
Yeah.
People very often say that if they could choose one that they'd want to see made as a live-action movie, it would be Captain Scarlet.
Mm.
Yeah.
That could work.
It's had the CGI remake, and a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
It still kept the level of violence and being slightly more mature than you'd expect for that audience. But
where are they going to find those square-jawed heroes?
They just don't exist anymore.
I'm just saying that. Apart from... they're all in Denville Hall.
Yeah. You know? Bless them.
They've all gone to Valhalla. They're all under the hill somewhere. No, it would be different now if they did it, wouldn't it?
Of course it would. Of course it would.
You know, you'd have Timothy Chalamet.
That's right.
As Captain Scarlet. It'd actually be amazing.
It would be amazing.
Let's cast it now while we're hot.
Would you like to be Colonel White? Or anything in that?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, let's do that.
I would.
Sorted.
Yeah, you notice there. It's not like paterfamilias, but there's definitely a dad in there somewhere.
That's right.
Like the Mr. Tracy, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
There's that figure.
Yeah.
And again, it's like it's a simple status thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's shorthand in a way, isn't it?
It is.
You get it immediately.
And when the younger men feel like they want to bite, you know, you just quietly go
steady,
like,
that's right.
You know. Again, all that sort of the stoicism of the era.
Oh yes, yeah.
But it's important, you know.
Yeah.
And again, it's something that even as children we'd have gone, oh yeah, I know that one. We're used to that.
So if we were to send you a Captain Scarlet box set, would that make you very happy?
I would cry my eyes out. It would be the sweetest thing anyone's done to me for me all year.
We'll make sure
we do arrange that. Yeah,
of course. Just for you.
I'll be thrilled.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, one and all. Oh.
Five, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is Christmas Control. Stand by. Let's go.
Is green. The Gerry Anderson Podcast with Jamie Anderson and Richard James.